this is a house with, as you, as the two of you well know, quite a bit of history. What got you thinking about, we need to write a book about this house?
This is Wanda. I toured the old house probably over 20 years ago. Mm-hmm. And when I came back to school, Gloria and I both were teachers at Grace County Middle at that time. And I told Gloria, I said, somebody should write a book about that house. She said, well, why don't you write one? And I said, well, I will if you'll help me. So we started in 1997. That's the year I retired. And it took us about 20 years to write the book and get it published. Somebody said, well, 20 years, that's a long time. I said, well, Ernest Hemingway, it took him 10 years to write one chapter in one of his books. So I didn't think that was too long. So that's how the book conception started.
The story of the book, it's historical fiction. And I'm interested why you chose that particular approach.
Wanda, again, when we started writing, we really couldn't find that much information on John Hart Crenshaw, who is the builder of the house mm-hmm. in the middle 1800s. And the internet, I didn't even have internet at that time. And so there just wasn't as much information. I had a couple of books, one that I had bought at the old house and different things that we found, but we really didn't find that much information. And I told Gloria, I said, we need to take this story in a different direction, but use the house and some of its history as in part of our story. Mm-hmm. So our story is actually set in modern time.
So can you give us a kind of a setup for the story? What is the book about?
This is Gloria. We start out in modern times with four friends deciding to go on a weekend retreat, and they decide to go on a bed and breakfast in southern Illinois. Along the way, one of the characters finds an old journal and starts reading it, and then there's a flashback to the 1800s, mm-hmm. and we tell the true story of the old slave house. But the rest of the four friends and their discovery and their solving the mystery of the old house is the fiction part, mm-hmm. and the old house itself and its builder, John Hart Crenshaw, is the history part.
Glory, I know you didn't tour the house. Have you at least been out to where the house is?
I drove up in the driveway
right.
and saw the sign that it was owned by the state of Illinois and mm-hmm. that trespassers would be prosecuted to the fullest extent of the law.
So you turned around.
So I turned around and went back. So I have not seen it, but mm-hmm. I've seen pictures. There are pictures online. I could see the top of the house through the treetops. Mm-hmm. You could see the very top of it, but I was afraid to drive up there since.
But at the very least, you got a sense of place.
Yes, I know where it is. Mm-hmm. Yes.
And it's not far from the Saline River.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And the Saline River plays a part in the history of the house, doesn't it?
Yes, this is Gloria. John Hart Crenshaw ran a salt works mm-hmm. and used slave labor to run the salt works. And then he used them as farm hands also.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but wasn't slavery illegal in Illinois at the time?
At that particular time, it was, but there was a loophole. And the state of Illinois, from the research that I did, the state of Illinois gave him the permission to use slave labor at mm-hmm. that time, rented slaves from Kentucky, which he did from Livingston County, as best we can understand, because salt was such a commodity at that time from the people moving west, and you know we know that they needed it to preserve their food and everything,
right?
That was a crucial business at that time, so the state of Illinois allowed him to do so.
Now turn our attention to the man who built the house, John Hart Crenshaw, who has, shall we say, less than stellar reputation. What was your sense of him the more you began to research where he lived?
Well, I think we tried to keep an open mind. We know that a lot of things were written. Personally, I believe that many of the things that have been said and written about him did happen. Now, whether or not we can prove about the third floor, I don't know. But
the third floor where he supposedly kept slaves.
Yes.
Kidnapped slaves.
That he did. And whether or not he did, when I toured the house, I saw evidence of where that supposedly happened.
Right.
And we, like I said, we We tried to research and find as many things, but there's more things that point in that direction than not.
I see. Like, well, for instance, what was pointing you in that direction?
Well, I saw the cubicles,
right,
with the American wire, you know, the marks on the wall, marks on the floor, and different things like that. And you can actually see the third floor if you go online and look at the pictures.
Really?
There are pictures, yes, there are.
What kind of place is it?
The third floor is very narrow. There's a very narrow steps that go up, that lead up to the third floor.
Right.
And we include that in our book. When you get up there, of course, it's floored. The third floor only has two windows, one in the front and one in the back. Mm-hmm. The apex of the roof is fairly a high pitch, so that you can walk around up there. If you get close, you know, you might have to bend over or whatever. And like I said, there are wooden cubicles built. The wood, of course, looks very old.
Right.
And just different things that you would see. The wire and the cubicles are the two things that stand out in my mind.
Hmm. It seems you're describing a very confined, dark place.
It would be, except for the two windows. Now, I don't remember whether the two windows were included or if they're, at the end of the houses. So I don't remember, like it's been 25 years ago, you know, since I went through.
You've slept since then.
Right, I have. But I can't remember if I don't think the front window, you could see out the window from that. I really don't think they would. And if he used that for that reason, he definitely wouldn't have had, you know, where they could have seen out
right.
the window.
Well, I want to turn attention to the writing of the book itself, because I'm always interested in how two people get together and write one book and tell one story. What was the mechanism there? How did that work for the two of you?
Well, this is Gloria. Several people have asked us that, how two people write one book. But we found it easier to write it together than separately, because we just talked and brainstormed, and one or the other of us would come up with an idea, and then we would just run with it.
Mm-hmm.
So it really helped me to have a co-writer, because she had seen the house. And she's a history teacher. I'm an English teacher. So we were able to work together and get the story. We made each other do it. We had working dates, and we would try to work on those times. Mm-hmm. And the times I was supposed to work by myself, I didn't do it. So so it really helped to have a writing partner.
Mm. Well, was it someone would draft out something and the other person kind of reviews it, and then the process goes the other way as well?
We did.
Mm. Yes, we did that. And I typed it. So sometimes I just typed as we talked.
Right. What made you decide to self-publish?
We tried several traditional publishers, and they either were not accepting new manuscripts or unknown authors or not the right genre. So we just decided. I read an article or heard on TV, I don't remember now, that someone had published with Amazon as an ebook.
Right.
And I thought, well, that might be a good idea. So that's what we did. We went ran with that. So we self-published on CreateSpace, which sent it straight to Amazon. Now it's on Amazon, Books A Million, and Barnes & Noble as an online book.
So you can get a paper copy, but you can also get the ebook version.
Yeah, ebook's on Amazon. Mm-hmm. There's an ebook on Amazon and a physical copy on all three sites.
Has the book out?
It came out in November of 2016.
How's it been doing?
Fairly well.
Mm-hmm.
This is Wanda. We really haven't actually pushed sales, I don't think, that much. We both had things going on, but locally, we'd like to get, you know, such as this interview and the book signing and different things, because we're teachers. We're not really publicists.
Right,
you know?
Right.
And so We'd like to get the word out there. We think we have a very good story. And like I said, it's not just about the old house and John Hart Crenshaw. That is a part of it. But it's also a modern-day mystery. And some of the things that, if you notice the title of our book, it has the at sign in it.
Right.
And we want to stress that there are still people that want to be a predator to people that don't have any other choice, for instance.
Mm-hmm.
And so we bring that into our book.
Now, you mentioned mystery.
It is.
Now, what part does that play?
It is a mystery. The old house, as a setting in our book, has a modern-day mystery,
mm-hmm.
something that's going on in that house. So we bring in a modern-day mystery along with the mystery of the old house, mm-hmm. and its history. So there's really a mystery within a mystery.
Mm.
And so if anyone likes a mystery, we truly believe that they'll like the story.
What has the feedback been from people who have read it and been able to talk to you?
Most people have told us they enjoyed it,
mm-hmm.
that it was a page-turner once they got into it, that they had to keep reading to find out what was going to happen next.
See, that's what you want
to
hear.
They were interested, and we like that. We're happy and pleased that people tell us that mm-hmm. they couldn't put it down.
Now, I think it's important to mention, because a lot of people might have had their experience with the old slave house might have been through the stories that have been told over the years.
Right.
And when you talk about the mystery in the old house, it's not any of that necessarily, is it? It doesn't get into the alleged ghost stories and things like that.
No,
or
there are
any
no
that.
Ghost stories.
Right.
Not
necessary,
not
are they?
That.
No.
We know that John Hart Crenshaw was indicted, but never convicted for capturing slaves mm-hmm. and reselling them. He was known to be a part of the reverse Underground Railroad.
Mm.
So we think that's important to be told.
So the kidnapping of free blacks and
yes.
sent south into
yes.
slavery.
And selling them back into slavery or using them in his salt works or on his farm.
And the book is available online. Mm-hmm. Books A Million mentioned. Amazon in a paper-bound format in the e-book. Where else is it available, or is it just online?
Just online now.
Mm-hmm.
The Ice House Art Guild in Mayfield has some physical copies. We had a book signing there,
mm-hmm.
so we left some books with them. So that's the only brick-and-mortar store. Currently, I am working on the business end of the deal, trying to get it into stores, but mm-hmm. Haven't been successful yet. It's in the works. There's a lot of paperwork to be filled out.
Oh, boy.
A lot of books to be sent in.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of forms to be filled out to get that done. We've mm-hmm. been in touch with Books A Million in Paducah, and I've talked to a person there who is willing for us to have a book signing if we can get it okayed through corporation.
Mm.
She gave us the information, but it's quite a lengthy process to get that done.
Why do I feel like that's a bit of an understatement?
And since we have self-published, we also are self-promoting.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why we need to do this. But we've had a book signing. We've presented at a teachers' association. And, you know, we're working on getting the word out there.
But the interest seems to be building.
I hope so. I think so.
Mm-hmm. Well, this, like I said, sounds like it's going to be an outstanding read. And I do thank you both for coming up. And, of course, good luck on getting the word out and getting this book in people's hands.
Thank you.
You.